And we're back. Episode 46 of the Moto 247 show here. I'm Ezra Henry, joined by Dean Taylor. And Oakland Supercross just got done with a couple days ago. And man, it was a really crazy race. I think it was my favorite one of the season so far. The 250 class wasn't too crazy, just Jet doing as usual, making everything look really easy and getting up front and getting the W. But man, the 450 class was really good. And we're just talking about that a second ago before we started here. And man, it's just so unpredictable now. It's just absolutely a blast to watch. What did you think about the main events?
They were really exciting. Like you said, the 250 was kind of the Jet Lawrence show. You know, I had hopes there for a minute that RJ was going to make it kind of exciting, but then he had just had that slide out. And then the 450 class, and those guys are really pushing it, you know, for as technical and as sketchy as this track was. And you know, you can see how challenging it was for everybody just to get a flow and not make a mistake. It really shaped up, you know, just when you thought Chase had it in the bag, he falls over. So then you think Eli's going to sail it, just bring it in nice and smooth. And then he has those couple of mistakes, a really crazy one in the last lap. So then Cooper was all over him. Like, it was exciting.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, the track was so gnarly. Like, I was seeing pictures even before the night show began, and it was just the pictures of like the whoops and some of the rhythm sections, and it's like just seeing that it just looked gnarly. Like, and then I saw after pictures, I think it was like Jimmy Dakota's posted some pictures of the chewed up whoops afterwards. I'm like, oh my god, like it was gnarly, and it was a really long one. The lap times, like, I don't know when the last time we had lap times those long. That long, besides, like, you know, Daytona or whatnot, but man, it was just a really crazy race. And then to have one whole gnarly whoop section, then you turn, got that dragon's back into another gnarly whoop section was crazy. And I wish I would have watched race day live, but I heard a lot of people went down and practice and stuff. But man, it was just a really good race. And even the 450 main event towards the end there, when it looked like it was kind of settled, Cooper Webb was making his way back and made it a little bit interesting at the end, but just couldn't get it done in time. But it's just looking like it's going to be a really good championship overall. And Chase is, like, last week, you know, everyone was talking about it in the media of him having these freak crashes and throwing it away almost every weekend. Then, I was hoping that something would change, and just if he can just, you know, put it all together. And because he definitely has the speed, you know, every weekend in qualifying, he's right up there and looking really good. And, man, just had that crash after the finish line. And that was such a freak crash that I don't think no one at all expected. But, man, it's just crazy. Like, I don't know how he's going to fix that. Like, what do you do? Like, he had a decent-sized lead there. It's not like he was being pressured from Tomac or Webb or anyone. Like, I just don't see what he's going to do to fix that, you know? Like, it seemed like he wasn't riding over his head or whatever.
No, and everybody, like, a lot of the stuff that I've been listening to and digging into some of the news and stuff like that, you know, I've, like, noticed that, like, you know, his crashes that he's had this season, they all seem like he's almost, like, losing track. And, like, you know, even in that highlight reel, you can see, like, a lot of them, it's like he's losing the front end and the bike's, like, literally, like, spinning out on him. Like, he's doing, like, 360s almost or, you know. And it, like, seems like that maybe his, like, bike setup is so catered to doing, like, insanely fast laps. You know, like, you can see by his qualifying times, like, how just insanely fast he is. But then it seems like, you know, what he's trying to gain with that fast intensity on a really smooth track, he's, like, losing in when the track's deteriorating, and that's almost like his bike's not handling as well when, like, the dirt's maybe like getting slicker or the track's breaking down or something. Like, you know, it could be like a combination of things, like his suspension setup or almost like his tires are getting like worn and he's like losing traction. Cause even said on the podium, he was like, I don't know, I hit that jump the same way I've done the whole, like, all day long. And then just that one time it just bit me. Like, he's like, I don't know what happened. You know, he's like at a loss. So
yeah, it's like, I'm speechless from seeing all this. Like, it's almost like the same thing over and over again, but just like really freak crashes that you don't see hardly at all. Like, you know, it's once in a blue moon for a rider maybe, and it's like a thing that we're seeing almost all the time from him. It's like, it's just crazy. And it's like, I don't know, like, and the, you know what the crazy thing is he's only like 7 points down right now, tied for second with Webb. So it's like, with all that going on, still he's still right there in the title fight. Pretty cool. But it's like, geez, if he can just put it together. And he did have the lead, not like he was going crazy charging hard and you know, making some dumb mistakes that we see a lot of rookies and 250 riders make. But it's just like, geez, you know, I don't know what. It's almost like I'm just ready to watch Arlington and see if anything different is going to be, you know, happening. And just, even if he's not in the lead, just trying to keep an eye on him and seeing, because yeah, if it is his bike or you know, whatever it is, it seems like they can't, you know, get that fixed. But I know he does sound pretty vocal on, you know, saying that the bike's not 100% where he wants it, and it seems like they're always tinkering with that. So, and then, you know, we're all hearing all those rumors that he's going to Red Bull KTM, so next year. So I don't know.
Yeah, just, even like talking about Red Bull KTM, like Cooper Webb set up, like he doesn't qualify that well, which is just like his style, and then he looks okay in the heat race, but then it's like his bike set up at Red Bull KTM, it's like almost like, do you think they're like setting his bike up for those final laps of the main, because like he looks the most comfortable on the tracks at its worst, like finding weird lines and doing really weird creative things on the track when everybody else is struggling. He's like finding new lines in the last three laps, you know, like, so it's like where Chase's bike setup almost seems like it might be for like those sprint laps and just doing a fast qualifier and the track's pristine. Cooper Webb's is like the polar opposite setup, you know, his whole plan of attack. And you know, so you wonder if Chase does go to Red Bull KTM, if that'll be something that they can bring to his program that'll just make him fucking unbelievable, you know?
Yeah, and I think if he does make the move, like I was thinking at first, because this rumor's been around for a while, you know, but I was thinking, I'm like, well, you know, all the issues they've been having over there, the KTM group, and everyone's pretty vocal over there, like last year, you know, Webb and all those KTM guys talking about how the bike isn't where they want it at all. But you know, with it being a new bike, there's a lot of testing to be done. But just with all the COVID stuff and just a ton of issues they've had with it, I was kind of curious with him going over there. But heck, you know, I think they're gonna make leaps and bounds of progress, you know, from what they have even right now. So going into the next year, which will be what, year three on that bike, and yeah, hopefully they can have something like that to where it's, yeah, set up to be like where Cooper Webb's at right now. Like, I think a lot of people forget about him because I know a lot of people go off of fantasy from the qualifying times, and he's never up there at all. Then, like you said, you know, late on in the race, he's doing some crazy rhythm or doing something different to just, you know, to try to get up there, and he's right there almost every time. So,
right.
Yeah, that's like another thing that stumped me too, is like the whole KTM, like what they have going on this year. I know with Christian Craig and the Husqvarna team, like I thought he'd be way better this year. And he got seventh, which was his best result here so far out of, what's it, like seven or six rounds in. So I'm almost like, is that the bike? Because on Star, he was, you know, amazing going up for the outdoors, and in the 450 class, he was running up there. A lot of the field was injured last year, but still, like I was expecting to be more towards, you know, top five, kind of where he finished this weekend. But it's, yeah, another thing there too.
I think it's just like a little bit of a learning curve on his part. I mean, like, I think seventh place for him is amazing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he's really in that mix, you know, like, you know, and like even a lot of this stuff, like a lot of these guys, like freaking, no, you know, besides like, I don't even know, like besides like Ryan Dungey is really the only one I can think of, like who else in their first year on the 450 was dominant. You know, I know we think it's kind of different for Christian Craig, but like, you know, a lot of the stuff I've been listening to with the stats and stuff, like most top 450 guys, they say it takes them 3 years in the pro class to really become a front runner, you know, to win a championship or anything. So, I mean, even, like, look at Chase Sexton for how long he's been in the 450 class. I think this is his third year, I think.
Yeah, it's his third year, and that's what I was hearing today, too. Like, it's his time, you know, it's being 3 years in. It's his time to make something happen. And, yeah, for Christian, yeah, it's such a weird thing that even think about, like, with him. Like, I think he's 30 years old, right? And he's had 11 starts before this year on the 450 starts in Supercross, and he constantly was getting called up to go race 450s during the outdoors over the last handful of years. But, you know, Supercross is another beast, too. And
yeah, I think that's probably, like, a whole different feeling, too. Like, hey, we just need you to ride the 450 for this week, and it's probably a lot less pressure and stuff like that, where it's, like, you know, like, when he comes in, he's probably, like, a whole different mindset when he's, like, okay, we're in this for the long haul, like, you know, and then that really just flips that weird mental switch that you wouldn't even think about, but it probably did get in his head. And I honestly, just seeing how he's been slowly improving, I feel like that was probably his biggest thing, is he probably just came in with way too big of expectations, and it, like, you know, kind of crushed him, you know, just deflated him right off the bat. Yeah. And I think that's what I speculated was what happened, you know.
That, and, like, I think a lot of people forget, even myself, like, I was hearing Alex Martin say something today about just the track being totally different for the 450 class. Like, a lot of these guys race, you know, years and years in the 250 class and do the 15-minute plus one lap races and stuff, and they never get to see what it looks like at the end of a 450 main event. And the track is normally just totally annihilated at the end of the 450 main event. And I was hearing Alex Martin say that, like, it's a whole, you know, another beast of just the track's insane. Not like they're just doing, you know, racing almost on the same track as the 250 guys plus 5 minutes longer. It's like the track's so beat up towards the end. It's not only are you, like, once you're getting bumped up to the 450 class, not only are you in a class that has, I don't even know, I think it has, what were they saying? It was like over 10 former champions. It might have been more. Was it like 12 or something former champions in that class? Anyways,
I want to say it was like 14.
Yeah, like, I knew it was definitely north of 10. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. 14. I'm looking at the results right now. Like, I kind of want to go through and... yeah, it has to be right around 15.
Don't forget Marv, Malcolm, and Ferrandez, too, if you're counting the results.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going through right now, and Yeah, it's like everyone I'm down the 12th has got a title before Ferrandez.
So, like I said, and that's not even including...
This is the standings.
That's not even including Marv, Mookie, and Ferrandez, too. It's almost the entire field, so...
14 with Hill there. 15 with... No, it's 15 with Cooper. Then plus Malcolm. And Ferrandez is 13th in the title, or the championship right now, so he's included in that. But yeah, anyways, my point was just, not only are you getting bumped up with these guys that are absolutely on rails, it's like you're doing that plus you gotta get adjusted to this track being absolutely annihilated, and you know, these guys are on it as well. So it's just crazy, and I think a lot of people don't really even process it all. And even I find myself, you know, expecting, you know, whoever it is each year coming up, and you know, they get used to it and to be up there, you know, quicker than they are. But man, I think Christian's going to be doing a little bit better. I think he's, and we even talked about it. We didn't do a podcast last week, but I think we talked about it on the phone or something, of just him, you know, seeing him like creeping up to maybe like a fifth place or something, you know, and constantly improving a little bit each week and getting up there. And like, I don't see him, you know, making some huge statement by getting the whole shot and leading for a while, but I see him, you know, constantly creeping up there and then maybe knocking on the door for a fourth place or something. But there's just so many good guys, and there's so many guys that are capable of winning, then there's a lot of guys that you expect to win as well. So, and that's a whole another thing as well. And then this is going down, and I think we talk about it all the time, but it's just like there's so many guys that, you know, like I just said, they expect to win, but it's like once you're going through and calculating, okay, so-and-so is going to get, you know, 5 wins this year, then it's like it almost feels like you're leaving out a couple guys like each year, which is freaking crazy. And then Ken Roczen's right there too. I know he's on the HEP bike, but still, you know, he's a wild card, and it's just this championship's really freaking good. And What did you think about him switching back? He went to factory connection suspension for Tampa, was it? Then going back to the factory show us stuff for Oakland.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
Dude, that's, I don't know, man. You got, like, when you're doing that many things, like, I was even thinking of it this weekend. Like, I don't, like, if you said you didn't watch qualifying at one, I think it was the second qualifier out. He, like, pulled in at one point, and they showed him and his mechanic was adjusting his forks and the shock, like, doing the compression and the rebound on his rear shock and, like, doing, like, a million clicker adjustments, it seemed like, all at once. And I'm, you know, I mean, like, at least from my, like, everything I've always understood, it's like, man, when you're trying to make that many changes at once, like, you're not going to be able to really pinpoint which one of those single changes really affected the bike in a positive way. Like, one of those things could have really fixed the bike, but then all the other changes you just did at that one time could be, like, going backwards and, like, you know, that's, like, real,
and in you're losing your mind.
That's a really quick way to, like, dig yourself in a hole and go spiraling and not just feel very uncomfortable on your bike very fast.
Which, I know he didn't talk about it that much, like, going in. Like, he made it really obvious that, you know, he's didn't do much testing on the bike, and there's work to be done for sure. But I heard him say something this past week, and he's saying how, yeah, like, he voiced that there was issues with the bike, and it's something, you know, it's an ongoing problem that they're trying to fix and whatnot. But it's, like, almost, like, how much is he, do you think he's regretting not going with Firepower Honda? Because not like it, like if he joined Firepower, not like he's on a, he's still kind of, I don't know how to put, not on his own deal, but he doesn't have that factory pressure, you know, right? And he's the big dog there. And I think he, like, after seeing him in Paris and doing the off-season races or the World Supercross stuff on that Honda, like, I think he would have looked really good on that bike this year.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think it would have been the same old, because, I mean, really, it just seems like he's kind of fallen back into the weird Kenny ways that we've come to know the last few years. I don't know if it, I don't know. I'm not going to get hung up thinking, oh, what if, like, you know,
I don't think he would have been up there like he was, I mean, in, like, Paris by, like, you know, being up there battling with Tomac, but I definitely think he would be a little bit better than he is right now, but still, he's not putting in horrible rides, but he is kind of, yeah, going into his old ways, like you said.
Well, I mean, like, dude, the guy won his heat race and then is in there, like, bitching on the podium, like, honestly sounding like a little crybaby after he just won a fucking heat race. Like, you know, I'm like, that's like one of those things, like, why, I feel like, you know, on old Ken Roczen that we used to know, like, he was just so, like, ah, whatever, I'm gonna ride whatever, you know, I mean, I'll get used to it, it'll, you know, like, I would like to just see him, like, find something that he maybe isn't in love with, but, like, it's a solid setup, and then just stop fucking worrying about it, at least for a whole day, and just ride the bike and try and get used to it, you know? Because, like, we just saw that you're uncomfortable in a heat race and you can hold everybody off and still win it, but then how do you go from doing that to then fading back to 10th place after, like, a fifth-place start? Like, he almost got passed by Dean Wilson. Nothing against Dean Wilson, but it's like, we very well know that Dean Wilson is, no, should not be anywhere near on the same level as Ken Roczen, like, you know, at least what we've come to see year after year. So
it's, I don't really know what to think about anymore. And, like, obviously, well, a lot of stuff happened with his injuries over the years, but it's like,
yeah, I mean, we can only use that for an excuse for so long. It's just like, at least for me, it's like, this is what we've come to expect year after year. It's like, he's going to come out and, like, kind of get you talking about him for the first three rounds, and then he's just going to kind of start fading to the back, and then most likely just pulling out and quitting, like, halfway through the season.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't this year, but it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just so unpredictable, and, like, we know what he's capable of, and we've seen what he did in the past, but it's like, yeah, the last couple of years just been really weird. And then he goes off and the World Supercross stuff, and I know the tracks were quite different, you know, for those races, but then he looks amazing, then, you know, coming over here for the start of the season, and yeah, it's the same old stuff. And I don't know, I kind of had my hopes up they'd be doing a little bit better, but it's nothing new, I guess, at all, so it just sucks. But I just expected a little bit more, though. But one guy I want to talk about is Joey Savacci. He's looking really good. He has his own deal on that, was it the Rick Rare racing on that old NASCAR team.
Mm-hmm.
Not the old NASCAR team, but the what's that guy? He owns NASCAR. He owns like quite a few different.
He's in all sorts of racing.
Yeah, he's in all over the board. But yeah, kind of cool to see him helping out Joey. And I heard something that they only planned to do like the first 8 rounds or something, but then he extended him for the rest of the Supercross season. So that was really cool to hear. I didn't know that at all. You know, going into it.
He got it though, man. He's doing so good.
I see him. He's up there beating AC, and AC is obviously coming back from a lot. You know, being off the bike for a while, but he's putting in some really good rides, and that's one guy that's kind of stumped me over the last few years of him not getting a ride. Like when he lost his factory Cowie ride when AC was coming up to the 450 class, I was kind of shocked, honestly, because his rookie year he put in a really good year. Not like it was mediocre or bad by any means at all. He looked really good in his rookie year. What was that, 2018, 2019? No, it had to be later than that. Oh, somewhere around there. But yeah, he looked really good. Then just not getting the rise, it kind of blows my mind. But he's been doing pretty good lately. He's got 8th last week. So he's putting in some good rides right there, and he's right behind all the top guys that, you know, everyone expects to, or not expects, but that you know, all the guys that people know are capable of winning. But Justin Cooper, too, he's another guy that he's kind of, he's on it this year. He got 10th. So I guess he did get Roczen. Yeah, Roczen's right there in 11th.
Did you hear that? It's like, he might kind of still be having like a lingering ankle injury or something.
No, I have not.
Maybe I misheard. I thought I heard somebody say like his ankles almost like fused together or something.
Yeah.
But
have to do some looking. Yeah, hope not. But man, he's looking good this year. Like so far, like it's just a bummer with that whole freaking points. You know. Whole deal with pointing out of the 250 class. I find that so stupid. Just his whole deal of not even racing at all last year with being hurt, and he couldn't defend his title. And then now that they opened it up to where, what's it, you need to get like you can't point out. It just goes off of titles. So it's like technically he should be eligible right now, but since he already pointed out, he's, you know, not able to go back down. But it just really sucks because, you know, he's only doing select Supercross rounds and he's looking really good. And I know he's getting the opportunity here with Frandis being out with him. Like, he wasn't expecting to do Oakland and I think a couple of these West Coast rounds. But, man, he's looking good. You know, he got the opportunity to get bumped up there for some of the Supercross rounds, and he's making the most of it for sure. And that's one rider that I'm, you know, kind of have the question mark on. Like, are they going to call him up next year? Like, who knows if Tomac retires and they have an open spot? I hope not, because Tomac's on it. I really want to see a Tomac versus Jet Lawrence thing, because there's so much hype behind Jet, and it would be his rookie year next year. But I think that would just be a really cool thing to see, because I know even if Jet, you know, being his rookie year, he's probably going to have a lot of speed, as we see all the time. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of mistakes made. But just seeing him up there, I think that would be a really good battle to see. But, yeah, it's kind of, just kind of a question mark there with Justin Cooper on Star, because I'm expecting him to do really good in the outdoors. And I think that should be a really good title fight as well. But, you know, hopefully you can get something going for the 450 class. Like, it's just so hard nowadays, because normally if you have a pretty good, you know, 250 career, you're almost guaranteed a factory ride for the 450 class or you know, a really good satellite team. But nowadays there's so many good guys that, like, you know, Joey Savacci couldn't get a ride for a while, like we're just talking about. So just crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, too, I don't know if you heard, I think, like almost at least like the top 10 for like the 450 class right now, I think like almost all of them are like, this is like a contract year for them. I'm trying to think of like who it's not. I think like,
yeah, I know it's more riders than that for sure.
I think like, they said that Christian Craig's already like good to go with Rockstar Husky for another year. And I think like Adam is already signed with Cowie again too. But I think besides that, like everybody else, it's a contract year for.
Yeah, which, like, I wish I could be a fly on the wall in some of these, just some of the behind the scenes stuff or, you know, all these teams, because I know there's a lot of talks already going on right now, and like, I think, yeah, it's going to be a definitely a lot of a big shakeup this year with a lot of people going different ways, but
yeah, it's, oh, I was hearing like Cooper Webb might be going back to Star Yamaha maybe, and then like it's like we've all heard the Chase Sexton going to KTM, you know, and then but man, oh man, it just questions so many things. I mean, then sure, you got like Jet moving up to 450s, so it's like, who would Honda want for another guy beside him, and like what top guy would want to be under the shadow of Jet, you know, and like
yeah, almost if they brought Jet up for outdoors this year, and yeah, then going into Supercross, they'll have, I think Hunter will be down in 250 class. Then let's say they bring him up next outdoor season and have like another whole deal with like how they have with Colt Nichols right now, just, you know, kind of holding the spot until Jet gets there in the outdoors. I wonder if they'll have something like that next year and then bump Hunter up for the outdoors. Then,
right.
Then, yeah, there's just so much. Yeah,
so
stuff.
Because of like even like, so if Aaron Plessinger's things up, like, I don't even know, like, man, oh man, like, fuck, who knows, man? Like, so there's like almost not enough spots.
Do you think Red Bull KTM would sign him back?
I don't know. Oh, well, then shit, like, what about Barcia? And like,
yeah,
I don't know. Because I don't, you know what I mean? Like, you just have to like almost just play it out and see how it goes. It's almost just almost like result dependent, really, you know? Like,
Rocky Mountain wild card. Absolutely got screwed this weekend. I was talking to Joey after the race too. He picked the same guy, and we absolutely got screwed. We picked Justin Hill for 15th, and he was in 15th for a good while. And it must have been the last lap or second to last lap or some. He passed Adam and got 14th. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm just frustrated.
Yeah, so you got to really thank Justin Barcia for that one, but then you also got to thank Adam. Probably was slowing down because he was getting lapped. And Justin, just from what kind of the little stuff I've been hearing through the grapevine, it sounds like he's been kind of like a little bit of an a-hole and like using like the getting lap thing as like an advantage to like speed up and pass people and kind of doing that type of racing in the back of the pack, you know, like cleaning people out and stuff like that.
I heard some riders complaining about him. It was kind of funny. After Tampa. Him coming back.
But yeah, like I bet you a $1 million that like that was the only reason he was able to get around Adam, was because Adam was probably being really polite and was slowing up because he was getting lapped, and then Justin probably almost latched on to like the fast guy that was lapping him and like used that as to like kind of be able to slingshot and get back around Adam.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I wish they had it on camera, because I'm like, yeah. I was watching the broadcast and the results come up. I'm like, top 10, cool. I'm like, at least I got my wild card right. My fantasy season's absolutely horrible right now. And they pull up to 11th or 22nd, and I'm like, what? No way.
Yeah, no, I was like, I picked Shane McElrath 2 weeks in a row. Like, last week's wild card was 14th, and then this week's was 15th. And I'm like, oh, I just got a good feeling about Shane. Like, he's been kind of struggling, but I'm like, I think he's going to find his groove and, you know, get a little, finish up a little bit further. And he got 16th this week.
So we both were so close.
Wild card is 13th.
Josh Hill got 13th. I'm not picking him this week. I don't know who I'm picking, though.
These back-of-the-pack wild cards are so hard, but I don't know if you paid attention. This week, I freaking got... I got my first through fourth right, so I got 89 points, which is pretty... That's, like, pretty freaking good.
Yeah, I don't even... I didn't check mine. I didn't want to look afterwards. It was beyond horrible. I'll look up. Where is it at? Like, I wish I could just start over. I needed, like, a mulligan for the first six rounds.
So this week's a triple crown, too, man. So, like...
No, yeah, we definitely...
You know, like that's really going to shake up 13th place. Like, I mean, that makes it even harder. Because, like, not only... Like, you got to pick a guy that you think can, like... will consistently you know, you got to think of his three results is going to have to give him a 13th. Like, who could they bring that? Shoot, that could be Chase if he falls over enough.
Yeah. Yeah, last wild card, he fouled even though he got that win, though, but ended up going down okay. In my picks, I got 30 points. That's horrible.
I mean, shoot, even I'm picking top five right now. Like, Ken Roczen did really well at the first Triple Crown, but now he's been, like, kind of, I feel like, falling off a little bit. And all, like, so, I mean, shit, he, I don't know. It's a hard one.
Yeah, I had a lot of hope for him the last Triple Crown, but going into this one, I don't know, maybe a fifth, but is that asking too much? Like,
I mean, well,
do you think?
Like, the Triple Crown's are shorter races, so it's like we just watched him win a heat race. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, like, watch us. Do you think he's good enough for fifth, and then he comes out and, like, goes, like, 1-3-1 or something, or 1-1-3? I can see him doing something like that and fading a little bit towards the end at that third main event, but it's so crazy. And what we started this podcast back in 2020, and we've said, you know, talking about how stacked the field is and stuff, but man, each year it gets even more stacked and even more unpredictable at all. Like, fantasy is just getting that much harder each year to predict, and it's more of like almost like the people doing good now are people that like aren't like really trying that hard. Like, I notice a lot of people are always watching qualifying, changing their picks 100 times, and those people normally are frustrated, and you see them on Twitter complaining or Instagram or whatever, but it's like, I don't even know what to think about anymore. Like, I told myself I'm not going off of qualifying at all unless something like crazy happens, right? But it's like, I'm just going to kind of go with my gut, and I make my picks normally after the show each week, so early on in the week, then normally I change them, like, Thursday or Friday of this, from what I'm seeing or whatever, but it's just so unpredictable. I'm doing absolutely horrible right now, so it's like, I need a miracle, so I need to, like, start throwing Hail Marys with some picks here, but I keep on picking Chase, and the thing is I pick him, and he lets me down, so I'm like, I'll go with the safe pick. So I go with Tomac. Then whenever I pick Tomac, Chase wins. So there's no winning here.
Yeah. Dude, I was watching the main this week, and I was like, oh, man, it really looks like Eli's just kind of settling in and taking second. And I'm like, oh, but the main's not over, man. Like, there's still time for Chase to make a mistake. But I'm like, this track looks gnarly, too. Like, it'll be real easy to make a mistake. And then that happened. And I honestly wasn't even really – I wasn't surprised, you know, like – You know what I mean? I was, like, excited, like, because, like, I mean, like, I don't dislike Chase, but I just really, like, want to see Eli do well this year, so. Like, you know, it's probably his last Supercross season. I just want to see him kind of go out on top, and it was really good.
That's, like, I really want to see Eli win, you know, a title, and if it is his last year to go up or go out on top, but it's, like, at the same time, I want Sexton to get the title, but it sucks. And, like, going back to last week, I got home at, like, 11 o'clock, and with a stupid Peacock app, I couldn't watch the race until, like, 12-something. So I ended up watching the whole race. Me and my cousin stayed up for the whole night show. He was in town, and so we watched. But I went on Instagram. You know, that's a rookie mistake for when you're not home. Don't go on Instagram or anything. And I saw that Cooper Webb won the main event. And, like, I'm like, well, you know, it'll still be some really good racing. There's a lot of good riders to where even the battle for, you know, a podium spot would still be cool to watch. So we watched it, and I see Sexton get up front, and I'm like, oh god, no. It's, you know, like the same thing. Then the same thing this week at Oakland. It's, I don't know, I don't even know what to say about it anymore, but it's crazy. Like, it's, I almost feel safer with him being in second until, like, the last couple laps, after, you know, seeing all this over the last couple of years here. But I don't know. And then we go into the outdoors, and he's like a totally different guy, and wonderful to see that this year in the outdoors, like what he was showing last year, just that, like, that he was there, you know, to the very end, and he still is really close in points right now, but it just seems like you know he's not that close with Tomac here. Like, he just has the speed, but just can't put it together. And I don't know, I'm not going with him this week in fantasy. That's all I have to say. Which, meaning he'll probably win, though. So.
I was gonna say, I mean, he won the last Triple Crown, so who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll go with Tomac, but if we're doing picks, but I don't know. I'm just gonna speechless at the moment. It's like all the craziness going on, and then Jason Anderson. Like, how do you think his what the heck with him being on probation for 6 months there? With him being on probation for 6 months here, how do you think that's going to affect his riding? Like, I can just see guys, you know, knowing that in their head and just being a little bit aggressive with him and stuff. But it's like, I'm just kind of blown away by that with 6 months of probation. Like, I'm surprised he just didn't get docked points or something for that. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, so that I feel like they probably got good like reasoning for doing it, but it's kind of annoying because feels like anybody you talk to doesn't even care about how dirty the guys get with the riding, you know? Like, no fans really care. So it's like, I don't know what the whole premise behind them like regulating it. I mean, it's like almost like hockey officials coming in and trying to stop fights on the ice. It's like, you're just taking taking away a part of the thing that kind of makes racing exciting.
And the thing he's not the guy that's, like, he's not like an Eli Tomac that plays, rides really clean and stuff. And you know, hearing guys talk about him, yeah, like, you know, he's not going to take you out and whatnot. But he's not like a Justin Barsha or a Vince Freeze. What about Vince Freeze? He constantly goes out there and takes people out all the time. And it seems like nothing ever happens. And then Jace Anderson, like, it was BS, the stuff he was doing, but still, like, to be on probation for 6 months, like, I don't know, I thought that was way overkill on that.
Mm-hmm. No, and, I mean, it's funny, too, because, I mean, you think of, like, if Jason wasn't riding, like, he was riding, like, as far as I was just going out with, like, a vendetta or getting so much emotion, he'd probably be, like, way further up in the championship than he is, because it's, like, him riding like that is just cause for mistakes and drama. That if he wasn't involved in, he'd probably have like a lot of some like just better results than he has been getting.
Yeah, like after last year, I expected a lot more from him. And let's see where he's at. Yeah, right now he is in fourth in the standings, and he is 28 points down, so over a full round down from Eli Tomac, and being six rounds in, you know, that's. It's just something that you can't afford to do, you know, be that far down. So it's crazy. Then, like, last year, just, like, I don't expect to see him up front. Like, I know a lot of people are still talking about him and everything, but after what he's done so far, like, just, I don't see him grabbing, like, maybe a win. I don't see him grabbing multiple wins all this year.
Which is crazy to think, because then he finished with four straight wins last season, right? Like,
yeah, didn't he win like a seven total?
Yeah, I think so. It was something like that. It was really, really good.
Yeah, so this year I expected them to come in and for the title fight, I'm pretty sure I was thinking.
That's off where you left off.
Yeah, well, I thought he was going to be there for sure getting wins, but I thought it was going to be Chase and Tomac. Going for the title, but I thought Anderson was going to be there getting wins and looking really like a threat like he was last year. But yeah, this year it's just been like so weird and something I don't think anyone predicted. But yeah, this whole championship has turned out to be a really good one, but I think a really unexpected one as well. Obviously, I think people would expect Tomac to be up front, but another new thing is normally in the West Coast, he's absolutely horrible, and you know, he's catching up and building all that momentum going into the East Coast, and here we are going into Arlington and round seven, and he, you know, has a 7-point lead, so not like it's that large, but he's just looking really dominant right now. It, like, after seeing, you know, the last six races, like, I would think that he would have more than a 7-point lead so far, but obviously that sixth place a few weeks ago, you know, plays a role in that for sure. But craziness going on. But I think this week's gonna be a really good one. We got Arlington, then next or the following week is Daytona. I'll be down there, so hopefully the weather's good. Last time I was down there, it was raining and it wasn't too good of a race, and I got screwed. I couldn't freaking see the track because they put me in the middle of nowhere and with the COVID rule. So I'm still butthurt over that. Still pissed off. You know, putting us over the pits.
You could be like all the cool people and just go to Detroit Supercross.
I'm going to Detroit too.
Did you get your ticket yet?
No, I haven't.
Dude, I'll message you our seats right now.
Yeah, I couldn't do that last time I went to Daytona. Detroit was that following weekend, and I was just getting home the Sunday after Detroit. But now I'll be able to make both of them, so I'm absolutely pumped on that. But yeah, I have not got tickets for Detroit though. Two oh seven C, and so mid row. Yeah, I'll save that.
This is like where we're sitting. This is like up in the Lions club, or yeah, the Lions fan club section with the padded seats, and up on the up top, so you can actually see really well.
Yeah, normally I get the lower section. That just kind of sucks. You can't see too much, and one time I got freaking stuck behind a podium, and I can't believe they actually allow people to sit there. But yeah, I think it's gonna be, going back to just the race in general, I think it's gonna be really good heading towards the East Coast. We all know Webb's gonna be on it, Tomac's gonna be on it, and then Sexton. I don't know if he's gonna clean up his mistakes, but we all know he's gonna be absolutely hauling the mail and being his, you know, really fast, and yeah, we wouldn't. I think no one would be surprised if he's gonna be up there, you know, showing his speed and slipping up as well. So I definitely hope that he doesn't, but it is what it is so far. So I don't have much to add to that. It's like each week I hear stuff within the media and of just, you know, hearing people's opinions on what he can fix, and it's, I don't know, I don't have any input anymore on that. But it's gonna be some a good race, and all I know, and the only thing that's kind of a letdown this year is the 250 West class, which I'm happy we're going east because it's just Jet, and I guess we didn't really talk too much about that this episode yet. But it's like, do you think any of the guys like Hampshire or McAdoo can, before the championship's over with, can actually be up there and challenge Jet? Because I know Hampshire went down, but I think even if he didn't go down, you know, Jet would have passed him and pulled away a little bit. And he just makes it look so easy. And it's like the same thing every week. Even if he doesn't get the whole shot, he just picks his way and then just makes it look like he's just, you know, and it's a Wednesday at the practice track, just looking really comfortable.
Yeah, I don't really know who can, but I don't think there's really anybody that can really challenge him. Like, maybe Levi Kitchen, honestly, is like maybe my favorite. Like, but he's got to get a good start, and he's really got to latch on or like start in front of Jet to beat him. I think Levi's really the only person I've seen that really's got that raw sprint speed that can hang it out for anybody else on the West Coast, you know? Like, I don't really see there being too many others. I don't think really RJ's got it or is willing to send it. And then I think if Cameron's going to really try and hang it out and send it like that, he's just going to crash like we see him do every time. Right now, I think Levi's, like, the most promising one, but he's got to get a good start to do that. And that's really his Achilles heel right now.
He's definitely, I think, surprising for sure. Like, he hasn't had a full year of Supercross under his belt, and he got that win, obviously not winning a race in that Triple Crown, but still, he looked really good. And yeah, it's like last week too, just not getting good starts, and you're almost giving Jet just a perfect opportunity, you know. And then Hampshire going down, and I think this 5-week break is going to be really good for both Hampshire and McAdoo though, because we both know they're both banged up. And I think if Jet's going to run away with the title unless something crazy happens, like an injury on his part, but like, I just want something that where he's being challenged, you know, and hopefully if McAdoo and Hampshire can heal up, you'll give him a little bit of a hard time going into the final few rounds there. But It's just crazy. I'm really curious to see how he's going to transition over to the 450 class, though, because he's looking really good right now. But we've seen, you know, champions go over in the 450 class and can't put it together. But I think, you know, we all know Jet's on another level. And like I said earlier on in the episode, I really hope Tomac stays for another year and try and defend that title again. And I think Jet would put on some really good battles with him next year. So I'm just, that's fingers crossed. But I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. But this is, either way, I think we're, no matter how it goes, it's going to be some good racing moving forward. But do you want to make your Rocky Mountain picks for this weekend? We got, what, the wild card you said was 13th?
13th. And that's a triple crown, too. I don't know. I just went with, like, all reliable. Like, I mean, still kind of going into this triple crown. I know it still kind of leans into, like, Eli's been, in the past, has been really good. Just besides that, like, even, you know, he just had that one mistake at the last one that really messed him up. So I picked him to win, and then I put Webb in second because, like, he's just been gritting it out. And then Chase third. I moved Ken Roczen into fourth because, like, so he did pretty well at this last Triple Crown, so I'm just kind of almost going out on a limb there. And then Aaron Plessinger for fifth, and then for 13th, I went with Dean Wilson.
So I'm going to go with Tomac. My safe pick that normally when I pick him, he doesn't win, though. And it's really depressing episode. Fantasy-wise, I'm doing horrible. I'm just in a really bad spot. Like, I need to have a really good fantasy week coming next Monday for the podcast, or next Tuesday, or whatever. And just be in a good mood. But I'm going with Tomac. Sexton for second. For third, I'll go with... I don't know. I'll go with Webb. Yeah, he's going to be up there in third. Anderson for fourth. Plessinger for fifth. Then for 13th. Yeah, I think Dean Wilson's probably a good pick. But... I'll go with something different. Justin Hill, he's going to be up there in 14th. Or 13th, I mean. So, we'll see if he lets me down again.
Yeah, it could go. It's so hard. You know, it's hard in general doing this, but like the Triple Crown, man, I'm like just saying, like, man, like these, of course, these are off weeks, so it's hard to pack.
Yeah. Like, good thing I'm not in it to win anything right now, because... You know, there'd be some pressure here, but there's nothing. I think I'm last in our group. I forgot to make my picks like two rounds. So I know that's something we talked about going forward. You even texted me Friday, reminded me to make my picks. And that's one thing I always get them down on paper, you know, when we're doing the podcast here, but something I never do, like interim in the Rocky Mountain, which I have to do. But yeah, if you guys want to, or listening to this and haven't joined our group yet, we're on Rocky Mountain at Moto Space 247 on there. Join us and see where you end up. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too, and I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on, and rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram, and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos, and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too. So I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at whiskey_throttle_grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio.